Not here yet. Okay, so let's go ahead and call the July 7th meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the flag salute, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please. Mayor Pruitt is here. Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Okay, and we always begin with audience communication, people that want to talk to the council about anything on the agenda, off the agenda, whatever. And we have Ty Mertzel.
Mertzel.
First, name and address, please.
Ty Mertzel, 3921 138th Street Southeast, Mill Creek. Thank you, Mayor Pruitt and council members. I come to you as a concerned citizen and secretary of the Sun Rose Homeowners Association. I wrote a letter a few weeks ago as a resident living near the proposed development Pacific Circle Preliminary Plat PP 1568. In this letter, I expressed my concern that 4 years ago, the neighborhoods of Sun Rose, Appletree North, Westfield, Bluegrass Meadows, and the Seattle Hill Estates came together opposing the rezoning of the Pacific topsoil property from low-density residential to medium-density residential. The concern was that punching through 138th Street Southeast to any new development would lower the quality of the quiet neighborhood. We collected 140 signatures in a petition representing 100 different homeowners opposing this change, but it went through anyway. I hope that in the last few weeks you have had a chance to consider my questions. One, have other options for access from 35th been suggested by the City Planning Department to the developer? 35th is a large thoroughfare specifically designed for large traffic movement, while 138th Street Southeast is a quiet residential neighborhood. Two, the plat map currently shows 15 properties, but are there any further developments that could open up 138th Street Southeast to even more traffic on the Pacific topsoil site? My concern is that approving this plan is going to open up the rest of the buildable acres for more housing and even more traffic. Could the developer not build on one of the 15 sites and use it as another punch-through to another development? Our residents are very concerned about these issues, and I hope that the city will work with the residents to minimize the impact. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rebecca, you're working?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. And I'd like to apologize to Mr. Mertzel. I was under the impression those had been answered, so I need to coordinate that, and I will give you a call personally to discuss that. So thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to address the council tonight? Going once, twice, three times? Okay, there'll be another opportunity, as most of you know, at the end of the meeting. So first up is new business, and this is our construction contract for the 2015 Catch Basin Cleaning and CCTV Inspection Project.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. You have in your agenda packets for your consideration tonight an award for your annual catch basin cleaning program. And you can see in your agenda packets, it's an annual program with the areas of the city divided as to what is addressed each year. And this year, the north and west areas of the city will be clean, along with State Route 96 and State Route 527. The lowest responsive and responsible bidder for the project was Innovative Vacuum Services at a bid of $149,791.42. Our city engineer's estimate for the project was $195,000 and change, so you can see it came in well under the estimate. And the catch basin cleaning portion of the project is expected to be completed by the end of August, with the CCTV work to be done by the end of October. And the recommendation is for the council to adopt the resolution to award the construction contract for the 2015 catch basin cleaning and inspection project. And our city engineer, Scott, Smith is here and has some maps if you want to see in more detail the project. And of course, as always, we're happy to answer questions as well.
Any questions?
So I would love to see the maps. I was, or just some clarification. Because it sounds like an annual program. We go every other year. North and west is this time. Other times it was south and east.
Yes.
But I had a question too about how much CCTV we've done and how much we're doing and how much more there is to be done. So I'd love to see a map or just tell us in terms we can appreciate.
So I'm going to, since I don't have PE behind my name, I'm going to turn it over to Scott and let him kind of address the technical questions, if that's all right with the council.
With the map up. Okay, we've got three different maps here. First one, this is the map of what we're cleaning this year. As the city manager said, we do the north and west half in the odd year and the kind of the south and east half in the other year. But it's not perfectly divided. It's more kind of a diagonal line going across the city. So we call it north, south, and east, west, but it's really kind of diagonally going across it. So that's the area we're cleaning. The area we're doing TV inspection is relatively small. We're doing Evergreen, Vine Maple, which are our two biggest subdivisions, and then we're doing Holly and Douglas Fir. In the overall scheme of the inspection, we don't have a map for that, but I can tell you we've done approximately 25 to 30% of the city overall. I think we've done two big rounds of TV inspection. So this will be an ongoing process over the next few years. As part of our NPDS Phase 2 permit, we're required to hit 40% of the city for inspection by the end of 2017. And we're doing about 10 to 15% a year. So we're well on track to meet our goal. And then after that, I think we're required to do 12% a year. So this will be an ongoing project for the next few years. Until we get all around the city.
So it said in here the oldest subdivisions along Village Green Drive had extra pipe cleaning. That's from what you guys found out last year.
Right.
And so now this is the next older set. What I'm trying to figure out is, are we really going from oldest to youngest, or are you... Will we have gone from Spring Tree clear around to Holly or whatever's the newest, or have we skipped over some of the process? That's what I'm looking for, I think.
Right, right. It's not exactly oldest to newest. That's kind of the way it effectively works, but it's not exact just because of the way it developed. We're trying to do more of an efficient pattern, just try and catch everything almost in quadrants as we kind of sweep around the city.
Okay.
So we kind of started in the loop in the, again, the oldest areas. And as a follow-up, these are the areas that we did last year, and we're doing some more intensive cleaning this year, where we found roots and debris and things that are clogged up.
Okay.
So again, we started in Spring Tree, kind of going up around the loop to Fairway and Huckleberry. So then it kind of makes sense to go from there to keep going around and do Vine Maple, Evergreen, and just kind of keep going around the loop. So we haven't got an exact system yet, but we are trying to do the oldest first because that's logical, and then just kind of catch other things as we go and swoop around.
Okay, so the cleaning program, going back to the cleaning program, was the north and west, but it also is going to come down and do special stuff like in Spring Tree and
right.
Woodside.
Yeah, there's catch basin, there's pipe inspection, the CCTV, and then pipe cleaning. So it's kind of three parts.
That's, okay, there's a third piece
yeah.
in there. That's where I was confused. Thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't make them all line up. Thanks. Appreciate it. Good stuff overall. I'm just kind of curious how we're doing on this, because it's important that we get it all done. But it's a big bite. There's a lot of data, a lot of stuff, and you guys are doing good work. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Councilwoman
Lightson?
Thank you. Scott, was this the company we used last year, the Innovative Vacuum?
No, we used them, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. The last year we used Olson's ProVac.
Okay. Were they on a bid this year?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And obviously, a few years back, you must have good history with Innovative, or you...
This is kind of a unique project. It's kind of the same six or eight players that always bid on it, and it just kind of varies to who gets it.
Well, I was glad to see as many bids came in, because we've kind of had a problem with that sometimes, getting valid bids in. So good job. Spreadsheet.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Then can we have a motion to approve resolution 2015-534?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on resolution 2015-534. All those, is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. So I know we're going to have a report by our city manager. This is her first month's observations.
I know, a 1 month anniversary. I told the staff, where's my cake? So I do want to just kind of put this disclaimer on it. It is just 1 month, and it's just initial observations. But I have to say, I want to really acknowledge this staff who is here, those that aren't, because we have been doing a lot, and I have been pushing hard, and they have really risen to the challenge. And they are really a pleasure to work with every day, and their enthusiasm for this city is inspiring. I think, when I went through the interview process with the council, one of the things I was struck by was the council's desire to really have a recruitment process to recruit a professional manager. And I think that really underscored kind of the council's recognition of where you've gone from incorporation to now, from really springing from a homeowners association into really a grown-up city. And so what we're looking at and what we're facing now, I think, is kind of that transition and catching up. And so, I'm looking from a management standpoint at fostering a culture that focuses on process improvement, thinking outside the box, innovation, and that deploys the best practices of municipal administration. And I think my underlying theme is, just because we're small doesn't mean we can't be great. And that's kind of the approach we want to take in everything we do. And at its core, from a professional management perspective, at its core, a city's purpose is to bring people together to accomplish a mission that cannot otherwise be attained. And in order to do that, the manager has to organize work units so that efforts are coordinated and they contribute to the success of the city. And as a city manager, I generally identify work units into four categories. And the configuration of these organizational components really dictates how well the city can function. And those organizational components have to be modified and changed as the city changes. And so in a general overview, I would say those four organizational elements are the human resource element, obviously, which is having the right people at the right place with the right skills, deploying performance standards linked to rewards, and authority that's commensurate with responsibility. The second element, I would say, is technology. And that's having the right equipment, efficient workflows, information technology that serves workers' needs. And then the third component that I use to categorize is organizational elements. That's adequate resources like financial resources, adaptable, flexible work units that correspond to the city's goals. And then finally, what I call interfacing elements. And that's your communication, your public support element, your inter-organizational network, and your open communication channels. So as I've come to Mill Creek and started kind of observing the staff and the work and the projects here, I am looking at all of these things within these four elements and starting to analyze how to configure things to accomplish these various tasks or goals, and how to kind of update the elements, if you will, the configuration. So I'd say there's some basic things that just kind of had to be done when I arrived that were high priorities. The negotiations with your police guild, because that goes to resources, financial resources. We need to have that number and kind of know what we're obligated to in the current biennium. And so I've spent kind of a lot of my first month focusing on that, and I'm pleased to say I believe we have a tentative agreement that we plan to bring to the council for ratification this month. Commensurate with that is the fire department contract that's up for renewal. Again, a big budget item. That has to dictate a lot of how the city moves forward. I'll be looking into that, and that'll be a long process because there's a lot of research to do there. And physical space, I mean, I knew in talking with the council and with the staff during the interview process, of course, there had been a lot of discussion about we need space. But I think, you know, space is not just, you know, physically moving around for moving around's sake. It's also really looking at work units and service delivery and how can people be configured to better provide service delivery and be more efficient with their work product. So the senior management team and I have spent a lot of time doing that. And I think there's several components to that. I mean, there's the physical space issue at City Hall. You are pursuing options for a public works facility, and you have in the budget already for the current biennium repairs to this building in terms of painting, repairs to your annex building in terms of painting, a roof replacement, and an HVAC system. And so when you are investing that kind of money in a facility that's already kind of been designated for City Hall expansion, that was a natural thing to look at. And so I am hopeful in bringing to the council for consideration a plan at your September meetings that I think will actually resolve an awful lot of space needs with very little cost to the council, so, or to the city. So we're very excited about that. Foundationally, and this will have to occur over time, I think your administrative policies need thorough review and updating. A lot of these are a decade or more old, and to just review those and bring them up to current best practices in municipal management, because we have to have the foundation. We have to have the right policies and procedures to execute. I think, you know, in line with that, your municipal code needs a review and update, and the city clerk and city attorney and I have begun speaking about that. Records management is a key weak area I see right now, where we need to have really documented records retention schedules, physical review. I think there's a lot of purging that probably needs to be done, organization of records, because that goes to efficiency. You need to be able to find your history and your records to move forward a lot of times. And a key component of that, for example, is the fire department contract, where I'm having to research kind of your history over the past 20 years to understand how to recommend moving forward. In addition to your physical records, it's how you deploy your records for use internally from a technology standpoint. And so we'll be looking at that as well. In a resource area of finance, I think, you know, my observations are that the budgetary management has been at the department level and has been, you know, is this a budgeted item? And I think, you know, I want to kind of bring a purchasing system and an encumbrance system to the city and a budgetary review where the finance director and I, you know, should be sitting down on a monthly basis reviewing the budget to actual reports and then meeting with department heads as part of their management responsibilities to identify areas in the budget that are not performing to standard, either from a revenue or an expenditure standpoint, and deploying fixes. I mean, you don't want to do that at the end of the biennium or the end of the year and say, oh, here's this problem, we need an amendment. That budget management is an active, ongoing task. And so we want to look at implementing that. The payroll system, I think, is something that has just kind of been here through tradition. I think we spend an awful lot of manpower doing a manual payroll system for 67 people that seems completely burdensome and onerous to me, and that staff could be deployed to better use. So I do have meetings this week to look with vendors at potentially contracting that out. And redeploying that staff to other areas of the city where we need to do things that currently aren't being done. And I've discussed with the finance director the city pursuing the Washington and the Governmental Finance Officer Association's awards in finance, particularly in the area of budget. And I say that for two reasons. These types of awards aren't awards just to have a plaque on the wall, but they result from creating a budget document that exemplifies best practices in governmental financial budgeting, and it produces a budget document that is transparent and useful for the council and for the public. And I have found that in my prior management role to be a very useful document for my councils. I've also been a budget reviewer for GFOA, and I've seen budgets from all over the country, from New York City to the size of Mill Creek. And, you know, the one thing all of those jurisdictions had in common was the quality of the information that was presented to the governing body and to the public. So we have talked about exploring that. I think human resources, because of the size of this organization, and kind of it's in its infancy, having sprung up basically from, as I understand it, a homeowners association, has not been a central focus point of prior administrations. I don't really think you can run an organization without a strong human resource component. And I have met with Laura, our human resource manager, and we are completely revamping that function into a best practices current model. And I am very excited about things Laura and I have been working on. You know, personnel policies, and we need to have published, up-to-date, current best practice personnel policies. You've had them. They're quite old. And they're not easily accessible or complete for the employees. And employees need to know what the expectation is. And that's important to have that set forth in your personnel policies. You also don't have an employee handbook here. And again, that goes to expectations. And so I think that's really important. Reorganization reviews, not just for space requirement, but we have people who retire, we have people who resign. And so those are opportunities to explore your service delivery models and look at, is there a better way to do that through reorganizing? And so we are going to be employing that on a regular basis as we have major significant vacancies to really take those opportunities to look at the organizational structure and say, is this still the best structure for this department in 2015? And that's something that should be an ongoing practice in an organization. Training opportunities. You know, one of the things I loved about the city council when I interviewed is your desire to be the best. And that goes to, you know, you want to be a leader in municipal government. And that kind of went to my opening statement, right? Just because we're small doesn't mean we can't be the best. To do that, you know, the staff has to get out of Mill Creek. I mean, they have to go to Washington State. They have to go to the national meetings of their professional associations. And so training is really important to me. And it's not just going to a conference. It's being an active participant in your professional organization. If you are an engineer, if you are a doctor, if you are a lawyer, hallmarks of professional organizations are continuing education. And it's very important. In other cities I've worked for, not only did department heads attend those organizations, they became the leaders in those organizations. My police chief was the president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. You know, what did that mean? That meant our police department had access to policing methodologies and chiefs and sheriffs and state patrols from all over the country and foreign countries. It meant that when he was president that year, and this was a city smaller than Mill Creek at the time, you know, then Senator Joe Biden was calling our office and talking about upcoming bills in the Senate and police appropriations money, and we were in on the ground floor to get monies for the police department. The city manager in the city next to mine, again, a small city comparable to Mill Creek, became the president of the International City Management Association. Again, the same kind of thing, where we had national recognition in our communities, and we were tapped into resources. And just because you are a small organization does not mean that your management team cannot be national leaders and bring resources home. And so I really hope to implement training opportunities for the staff. Intern programs, the city would be optimal, in my opinion, for intern programs. We have a city attorney's office. You know, we should be interviewing
second-year law students to come and intern during the summers here, and they are a great resource. When I was at the Attorney General's office in Alaska, you know, we would bring several there, you know, even third-year law students who can go into court with supervision. You know, they do a tremendous amount of research and writing projects that just get things moving and that you might not have time for all the time. Criminal justice interns, again, I think can be of tremendous benefit when you have a big project you want to do in the police department. Is, for example, police accreditation, having a nationally accredited police department that, again, says, hey, we are a leader in the criminal justice system, and there's a lot of research and writing of policies to do, and criminal justice interns from your university system here can be a great resource to help goals achieve goals like that. Communications, I think this is probably a deficiency that needs immediate attention. We need a message. You know, what is our message? And that message needs to be consistent. And what is our look? And what is that message? Because it should go to everything we do and everything we say and, you know, all of our projects. And we need to communicate better with the council, with the employees, with citizens. We are looking at even some simple launches of citizen apps that can make city government more accessible to people in this technology age in a pretty easy way. And so I am very excited. James and Kelly and I are working and looking at several demos, and we'll be bringing in the near term to you some recommendations. Your police department, is in every municipality, it is the police department that is the reason generally people come forward and say, I'm willing to pay extra taxes to be part of a city because of an enhanced patrol presence. I'm so impressed with our police department. But one of the biggest struggles in a small police department is creating pathways to keep and retain officers. And I don't think we've done a good enough job of that here. I think we need to create different units within the police department that tap different opportunities for officers and ultimately benefit, obviously, Mill Creek. You know, I think, and I'm not suggesting these are the answers, but I am suggesting these are the areas we start exploring. Traffic units when you say traffic units, people think, oh, you just want to write a lot of tickets. You have a highly congested area, or maybe it just seems like that to me because I came from a city of 40 miles of road, but you have a lot of cars, you have school zones, safety, 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 and traffic units can be a huge help in that. Drugs are, unfortunately, in every community, and more proactive drug task force participation, canines that are drug trained, those are things. Crime prevention is another area worth, I think, exploring within the police department. I think exploring an auxiliary reserve unit in the police department is something to look at, and I'm not sure yet what your local practice in Washington is. I know other jurisdictions I've been with, They were tremendous as they had a Citizens of Police Academy. We had people that put themselves through the formal police academy at their own expense to be basically volunteers in the police department. And they are great for traffic control and festivals and community events and different things where you may not have a big enough staff to do that. For example, the festival and the run in the mill this weekend where you need a lot of manpower, those are events where reserves can be very helpful. And I think in a community, I've got two experts here, from the county, but in my experience, county policing and city policing are different things. And so city policing, is a very community-oriented type of policing, and I have taken time and ridden with the day watch officers. I have not ridden with the night watch yet, but I plan to. One of the observations I have is we do not get out of the patrol car enough. You know, I think we need foot patrol time in town center. I think we need to get out of the patrol car and walk through the businesses in the strip malls and have the owners know us. And you do this for a variety of reasons. One, it's so citizens and business owners get to know the police officers, establish a rapport, and then they start to tell them, hey, I'm having a problem about this. Or, you know, hey, what can I do about that? Or, hey, you know, I notice a lot of drug activity down on the corner of this street. And that's how you start developing not only relationships with business owners, but informants. And I think from a policing perspective, that's really important. And, you know, I didn't like doing it when my sergeant made me do it, but it was really important to get out there and walk in every store in a shopping center every day and talk to the business owner. And it's really important to drive through the neighborhoods and stop to talk to the citizens who are out on the streets. I think we have options to explore to supplement staff without hiring staff. One of the things Mr. Gathman and I are looking at is the use of inmate work crews at the state and the county level to help supplement staff to do things like picking up trash or things that are high intensity where you may have a huge project like cleaning out, you know, records from the Cook property or whatever that you just need physical labor for. And when you have staff, particularly this time of year, is very busy with park events and maintaining parks, that kind of supplemental labor can be very helpful. And particularly community service, because, you know, a lot of times these are just people that need to work community service hours, and they can get a lot done at little cost to the city. So we're exploring what the programs are here, how they work, and if there's a fit there to bring to you for consideration. I think within community development, we've brought something to you in terms of the East Gateway Urban Village. We're starting to look at development initiatives. I think what, you know, we want to start looking at is more proactive approaches to development. I think that here to date, the focus has been almost a processing function, like we have our code and you submit your plans and we process the plans. But it's really, if you'll recall from that East Gateway Urban Village presentation, we talked about four phases, and that final phase, you know, being execute, 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 right? So you can go through and you can study and you can plan and you can design, but you eventually need to get out there and recruit. And so I think that recruitment component is something that we haven't focused on enough, and we'll want to look at that. Technology, I think we've talked about kind of a new focus, a different focus, and you know, looking at the next 5-10 years, what are the cutting edge things. I'm putting together a technology master plan. I look forward to working with James on that. And then Town Gathman and I work on projects, and certain projects are fundamental to the foundation of getting other things done. You know, as a city manager coming into a new city, one of the most important things that I need is kind of understanding currently how everyone does business, because I need to know how a parking ticket is processed. I need to know how a building permit is processed. I need to know how a citizen complaint is processed. I need to know how the process for signing up for a recreation program. And it's through that documenting those processes that we then identify how to improve the process or how to automate the process or where a record's created in the process that goes kind of into our records management program. So this continual process improvement, is pretty common now. In a lot of governments, I know we used it in Alaska in a lot of our departments. Lean Six Sigma is kind of the technical name for it. I just think of it as a continual process improvement. In the old days, it was just flowcharting, right? You just flowcharted your functions. Now it has a fancy name, but it's just the standard, get a piece of graph paper out and start, okay, tell me what you do, and you write the bubbles of the boxes, and then you start looking how to gain efficiencies from there. Emergency management, and then I think grants. You know, we don't really actively pursue grants to the extent we can, and I think each department has tried to do it, but, you know, there's a bit of a knack to that, and really kind of learning that. So, again, I'm calling on Tom Gathman. He's done some federal grant training. He's doing some state grant training. And he and I are going to sit down and kind of put together a program where we're proactively looking for grant opportunities that fit the council's vision, department's mission, and see if we can generate additional dollars for the city. So those are initial observations from the first 30 days. And now we have to kind of take these observations and put them into a work plan. And so here's my cautionary tale, right? So just because we identified things in a month doesn't mean we're going to resolve them in a month. Now we need to kind of sit down as a staff, develop a formal plan of work that identifies these projects, the subtasks, the timelines, and it will take time. And it needs to be done in an integrated approach where certain things need to be done before certain other things can be done. And so it needs to be planned carefully. But that is the next step. So those are my observations. This is my conversation with you as your employee. I want to take your questions. I will tell you my first month has been exciting, and I love it. Right now in Alaska is the time of year where we have a lot of sunlight, so my husband is always up early, this time of year, so I'm calling him at like 4 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. I'm thinking about this, and what do you think about that? And finally, he did tell me this week, he's like, honey, starting to lose light like 6 minutes a day, so maybe you could call me. But the enthusiasm is really what I'm trying to convey. There is a lot of great things to do here, and there is a desire on the staff's part to be the best. And I think we will really get there. And I think you will see in this leadership some people that will become national leaders in their chosen fields. And so I'm here to support them in that. And I think as they do that, you will see your vision executed and great things happen here in Mill Creek. So questions.
That's a lot to swallow.
Sounds like about 6 months worth of work to me. You did it in a month.
Any comments, questions?
That's just. I like the fact it's just the framework. Now you're going to have to take them bit by bit and take care of them.
Now we got to come back to you with a plan for how to address all those observations.
Okay, Councilmember Cavallari.
I absolutely love the idea of utilizing interns in all aspects with all department heads. I think that's a win-win, and also the students themselves also get credit within the college and the higher education systems for doing that as well. So that's a very refreshing concept.
Councilmember Todd.
Thanks. Fantastic pile of stuff you've gave us here in a quick month, and a great snapshot of what's going on. And it's, on one hand, you're like, wow, that's just too much, we're going to burn everybody out. But the other thing, if there truly is an enthusiasm and a sense that this is just a framework, as Donna Michelson said, that this is an opportunity for us to kind of lay out what do we want to do first, what's most important. As you said, it's a careful plan that's sequenced carefully, and we always focus on what's the most important thing, what are we trying to accomplish, and then how we do it afterwards. And so you mentioned some things along the way, like Councilman Cavallari just mentioned, yeah, interns could be a great way, but we shouldn't let an intern get in the way of planning carefully. And so an intern is a way to accomplish something, maybe if we've got the right tasks. But I'd encourage us to focus on prioritizing what's the most important tasks, then figuring out how we implement them. Just because inmates are available, just because interns are available, doesn't mean that's what we should go do, because that all does take resources to manage those things. But I think you understand that. I think staff understands that. I'm encouraged by all these things. If you get people to kind of figure out and work together on setting a plan, that's going to be great.
And I think your comments are well made, right? Because you want to use interns, but you need to have something for them to do when they get here. So you, in order to do that, you have to kind of have reached a certain point in your planning that you have a project that's outlined that you're ready to supervise. They can't just show up and you create something on the spot. So you're absolutely right. Sequencing of the work is key to actually being effective.
Okay. I guess I'm also impressed that you have a lot of management ideas that don't involve council. that this is, it's nice to know that the house is in order or getting in order. And I think that that's going to help us do our job even better with quality information and pulling together excellence is going to help us do our job.
Right.
Along with you doing your job. So it's just exciting. So anybody else? A lot to swallow. I'm sure we're going to be back.
All right.
For this.
Excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're up to reports. The minutes from the Design Review Board and Art Communication Board are available. Mayor and Council, let's see. One is Cities and Towns. We need to get our reservations in by the 9th. It is on the 16th, and they're bringing together lobbyists to Brianna and two others to talk to us about the legislative wrap-up and what we can do. It's being held at the Holiday Inn right off of I-5, so it's not like we're going a long distance. If anybody would like to come, and it wraps up by 8 o'clock, so you'll be home before dark. And the only other thing I have is our own Mark Bond is on the county website, standing by his car with a little kid. So anybody that just can't get enough of Mark Bond.
Very nice.
He's like my page saver. He's a screensaver. So
it's going to be your Christmas card, Mayor. Surprise has been spoiled.
It comes as a shock. I wouldn't see the county website. So anyway, that's the end of my Mark reports.
Well, we had a fire board meeting, and there's a lot going on there. Got a city manager that's getting up to speed on the history of that and where we're going, where we've been, where we're going, and there's really a lot that will be coming, but for now I'll just say we're moving forward. They've been good partners. We're all just trying to negotiate together and talk about where we're headed and what their needs are, what our needs are, and see what we can do. So it's going good. Once our city managers had a chance to digest it all, I think there'll be more information coming to you guys then. Otherwise, no.
John?
No report, Mayor.
Yes, I will give a report. Councilmember Kelly was stuck at work and asked me to cover for him at the Park and Rec Board meeting, which I did. So there are a few things that I would like to pass along. The new Youth Advisory Board president, I hope I'm doing her name service, Shalonen Garcia was introduced, and she will be volunteering and kind of heading the students and the other volunteers with the setup and the tear down and basic interaction with the public. They also have Jamba Juice promo cards, which I'll be plugging. Each student has 3 to sell, so they can purchase their own volunteer t-shirt. So I think that would be a great help if everybody would contribute at some level. And the grant for the new signage for the annex building and the senior center, I believe those have been handled.
Yes, sir. They're executed. The contractor is in the process of fabricating the signs.
Excellent. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you.
Well, this is a busy week in Mill Creek. Tomorrow I'm going to our Art and Beautification Board meeting. And then Thursday is our second Thursday art walk, 5 till 8. That's gonna be nice weather. And then of course the run of the mill, the 5K run of the mill, and the festival. Now, I checked out all the runners signed up on the 5K, and the only one signed up is Bois. What's the problem?
I'll be volunteering there.
That's not good enough. What's the problem?
That's a long way to go. That's the problem. Far from me, sorry.
Well, everybody come out. It'll be fun. So the weather will cooperate.
That reminds me. So Sunday, I chose to volunteer, but I've been tasked to work my regular job. So if
I am taking your shift.
Festival. Be a fun week. So
busy.
Yeah, in front of Mill Creek.
No report.
Several things. So the AWC conference was last week, and Mayor Pruitt and I had an opportunity to attend. So I'm going to report on a few things just so you know what's going on. So the AWC business meeting, I'll pass this whole pile of stuff around. You can take a look at it. So the business meeting is where we elect representatives, not a big deal for us in general. But the news for us is that Paul Roberts, who's a council member in Everett, is now the president of AWC, which is kind of a nice thing that's going on. Our local area rep continues to be John Naring. He was from Marysville. He wasn't up for election this year, but we are well represented at AWC in terms of Snohomish County, in terms of the management. So that's going to have an opportunity for us to influence legislative agenda, things like that, so because we've got these good connections. And those connections carry over between AWC and our Snohomish County Cities group. So I think this is going to be a good year for us, if we care to avail ourselves of it, to use the fact that Paul's in charge. We got a chance to meet Peter King as the new CEO for AWC. They just hired him. He's not going to come on until middle of July, I think. But he is somebody who worked for AWC a long time ago, went off and did some national kinds of things, and is now back to Washington. So he knows the state, knows the association, and is going to be a good new leader for us. During the first thing, we, Snohomish County Cities, got an advocacy award, Strong Cities Advocacy Award. They gave that to some individuals. They also gave it to our Snohomish County Cities group for the work that we had done as a group talking to the Everett Herald about the importance of cities' legislative agenda, and the fact we got a couple editorials and we have a promise to do one more. So we got a chance to go get that award. Mayor Erling wasn't there, who's the president of the group, so I got to go stand up and pick up their gold stars. That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
AWC Center for Quality Communities Scholarship. Remember, Zach Anders was fortunate to get one of those. I got some extras, but he gave a really nice little talk about what he did. I'm very proud of him, extremely proud of him. Pam introduced him and did a nice job of that. And then Zach, I was just choked up. I think he did a great job, and his grandparents were there to support him. He got to meet some important folks from WSU that he's going to get to work with next year. So he was excited about being there, and I was excited to have Mill Creek represented. It went quite well. In that pile of stuff, one of the things we did vote on was fairly significant, but it wasn't planned. There's a statement of policy that AWC puts out every year, and it's the document that the lobbyists use as their reference document for when issues come up during the legislative session, or somebody says, what's the policy of cities? They look at the statement of policy. So it's passed, suggested by the board of directors and passed by the body. Normally it's just, yep, sounds good. This year it was a weird one from the floor. And it did not get handled all that well. But what happened was somebody added some words, and it's written in on that copy. Somebody believes that the Public Records Act should eliminate the exemption for our state legislators. And they got that passed, 55-45. It took a very difficult vote. That is not probably a politically appropriate thing to do, but it was a confusing enough issue that the statement of policy now from AWC says we think the legislators ought to play by the same rules we do. Whether we believe that or not personally, I'm not sure if AWC wanted to take that policy position, but the board didn't have a recommendation, came from the floor, and people were confused enough that they voted 55-45. It went through a voice vote, hand vote, and pulse pads. By then, a lot of people left the room. It was kind of a messed up election, but that's what happened. So,
nothing happened.
Well, nothing was going to happen.
It was
kind of exciting. Yeah, there was a small housekeeping change for the bylaws. It just clarified that if you're the secretary, then you become the vice president, you become the president. That kind of stuff was done. And the annual report from the organization is there. The other flyer that's in there, there are now 101 cities out of the 280-something cities in AWC are well cities. And well city is something, thanks to staff. Staff has a program that if you qualify and check enough boxes, we become a well city. So we get a plaque for the wall, but the best part is we get 2% off our insurance. And that amounts, I remember, Landy, it's like $50,000 a year. It's like 1% tax increase. That is so valuable. I've said this before, but thank you, staff, for doing that. We're only one of 101 that do it, but I mean, they've got the rates figured out that we're getting a better deal because of that. So thanks to staff for doing that and keep leading. That helps us all out. That was it.
Pretending.
Yeah, pardon?
We took classes.
There's some classes.
Just go and hang out.
Yeah, there's some good classes. I We'll get some summary stuff back on classes. I guess, do any classes you thought were particularly good you want to mention, Mayor?
Well, I mean, we had some stuff on economic development. There were some police ones. But I guess one of the real values was going and networking and meeting people and sharing ideas. We had a lot of people that were interested in our hiring process for a new city manager that people were watching what we had gone through and watching our success. And I thought I was quite proud of our process in the council and explained, you know, what have you. Mike forced me to carry the flag in. He said he couldn't do it because he was getting an award, and it dawned on us he couldn't be getting the award, the flag at the same time, so he could have done it.
The gold star was heavy. That was almost as good as the flag.
So no, it's going to be an effort next year. The 21st through the 24th or
something like that. Yeah.
So we'll be able to go. You won't have to stay in a hotel, and you'll get a chance to network with people from all over the state, see what's working, and see what's not working.
This was the biggest conference they'd ever had. When they first booked Wenatchee, they thought they would have like 350 attendees. They had 463, the highest ever, and totally. Just totally booked up all of Wenatchee. They had people staying in Kashmir and Leavenworth, and it was crazy. So they're not going to do that again. When they booked Everett, there's some concern about the amount of meeting space, but this is going to be the first time they will have had AWC conference in the Puget Sound area for a while, and so there'll be more, a lot of day trip folks, and the education committee is talking about maybe making day-long slices so you can sign up for just going Wednesday and maybe going to a track, knowing that people are going to go home back to their regular jobs. I also want to have, and I've suggested, look at some day-long track things for staff. Some staff come to these things, but not very many. But I think it's a great opportunity for us to, leveraging off of your discussion earlier about training, this is an opportunity to get finance directors together for a sharing best practices easily. And there are some of those things from a professional standpoint, but this is a little bit different flavor. So it'd be an opportunity to do some of those things next year. So I would encourage everybody to think about doing something, even if it's just a day thing. You don't have to leave home to do this. There may be opportunities to structure the conference a little bit different next year.
What are they holding at Everett?
Well, at Comcast.
Xfinity?
Yeah, Xfinity Arena. But there's some concern about the number of breakout rooms because they were packed. This was like, if you want to sit here, it was like every seat was like this.
I walked into one room and it was so full. It was standing room only. And the heat just came out of the room because the rooms were pleasantly air conditioned. And when you open the door, this cloud of heat came out, and people were just jammed in everywhere.
Great conference overall. Highly recommended. We will not let people forget about it for next year. And we are working on some different ways to make it accessible to people. So that's, I'd encourage people to think about doing that for next year. Thanks.
Okay, city manager.
Mayor, Council, just one item. The staff and I were planning the agenda, and we do not have agenda items currently ready for July 14th. I have several for July 28th. I'm not sure your practice here, but if nothing develops, you know, on that 14th, is it acceptable to the council to forego that meeting, or is there any issue with that?
Don't have anything to bring to us.
So I'm going to ask the city attorney. I think the trick is if we have, that's a regular scheduled meeting, don't we have to take action to cancel it?
Yes.
So tonight we would just make a motion to cancel it, but I mean it's tough to do it at the last minute, so we have to make a decision tonight whether we meet next week.
City manager, what we need to do is notice that it's canceled, and if we don't notice that it's canceled, no one shows up, it'll be de facto canceled because you want a quorum. So I guess there's nothing solid about how you cancel them, but it would be nice if you gave the city manager at least an indication tonight that it was okay to cancel it if she determines there's nothing to put on the agenda.
So we can do kind of a conditional. We authorize her to make the decision and then empower her to make the decision. So if something came up.
That'd be the cleanest way so nobody says, hey, what were you thinking, canceling me?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Do you need a motion to do that or bubbleheads? I know you love motions.
Motions are great.
Okay, so exactly what wording makes you comfortable?
Move to authorize the city manager to cancel the meeting if there are no agenda items that she deems necessary to bring to the council's attention.
So we have an honor before date.
Well, 3 days notice, right?
I thought it was 24 hours. 3 days?
There's nothing in the law about timing of when you can cancel. Like I said, I mean, if a quorum doesn't show up, the meeting would be canceled by default.
But we would do it by Friday because that's when we put agenda packets out anyway.
On or before Friday, July?
Or if that is.
We'll do it July
7th. 10th.
10th.
Okay. Want to do that motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
Add on?
And we have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, so now we're back to audience communication. Anybody want to talk to the council? Go ahead. Are we talking loud enough? You didn't complain, so I thought it was okay. Can you hear everything there?
It's not as good as it used to be. Either I'm getting worse or...
Or maybe it's getting more selective listening, aren't we?
Well, it probably wasn't using the microphone. Okay, hi.
I'm Chuck Wright, 15907 24th Court, Southeast, Mill Creek. Several things I could comment on, but I'll keep it down to it. As the city manager had a lot of comments that I could comment on, but I'm just going to focus on one particular thing, and that is getting the police officers out going through the stores and all. As most of you know, I was a parole officer for 30 years for the state of Washington. Well, 27, but PERS 1 gave me 30. And we spent a lot of time out in the field. I had the powers of arrest. I don't know how many felons I arrested, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, you have to develop reliable informants. And reliable informants, as Mark can say, working in the school, is not just negative. When I got out there, I learned a lot about some of the people I was supervising that did extraordinary things for their community that I didn't know about, that I could report on to the courts or to board prison terms and paroles. Without me going on the streets, I would have never known that. So not only are you going to develop reliable informants in the negative sense, or in law enforcement, that's probably positive, but you're also going to be learning what we're doing right. And we need to hear that, too, because we get too much of the negative. Another comment that took me back was, Vince, you said that you had some volunteers. They have to go and get money to buy volunteer shirts.
What's your question?
Was that correct? Did I hear that correct?
The volunteers for
their
team.
They're going around collecting money so they can buy volunteer shirts.
No, the shirts have to be paid for, but they're selling Jamba Juice tickets or cards to pay for them. Pam can perhaps expand on that if you'd like some clarification.
No, I just it just took me back that the way I heard it was that the volunteers have to buy their shirts, but apparently I didn't hear that right. Did I hear you right?
No, you didn't.
The second time.
That's how the cost is offset, is through the card process.
Correct.
It's customary.
Correct, Mr. Wright. So the Youth Advisory Board members every year do fundraisers to help cover the cost of their T-shirts and their sweatshirts and stuff like that. But it also goes towards, you know, their volunteer activities that they want to do out there in the community as well.
Okay.
So it's just kind of helping offset the cost of their shirts.
Okay.
Yes.
Every place I volunteered, I've always gotten my shirt if I wanted it, and I just didn't have to pay. And again, when we had volunteers for the state of Washington, one of our policy was a state policy, they would be treated like staff. They have the same rights as a staff. And my staff didn't have to buy their shirts. So that was my concern, that when volunteers have to pay to be a volunteer, it seems to be an oxymoron there. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else tonight?
Karen, please. Karen Brandon, 15907, 24th Court, Southeast. And I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that our new city manager said, and one of them was what struck my attention, and I think it did yours too, Pam, because we made eye contact when she was talking about the part about finances and GFOA and WFOA, and I really encourage that the city puts in a training budget. I haven't ever heard anybody speak more clearly about what good it does for city employees to be able to go to training and the networking. And then you brought up, Mayor, about networking at the AWC meeting. That just take your own experience and apply that to the experiences of the department directors and some of the staff. They will just, our city and they will benefit so much from that. So I really do encourage that you find a way to get some training dollars into the budget every year so that we can be the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Going once? Twice? Okay, three times, that's it. So next up is we're going to have an executive session. The City Council will recess to executive session pursuant to RCW 4230-110-I to discuss potential litigation with legal counsel. The council plans to return in open session, and we're going to start at 30 minutes, but it could be longer. So with that, we're going to recess to executive
session. Are we taking action?
Yes.
Mayor, can I make a comment before we go? Because I know some of the people here aren't going to come back. May I?
Yeah.
I appreciate, Chuck, I heard the same thing that you heard. And I agree. I'd like to talk to Pam. I buy those Jamba Juice cards and everything that the kids come out. And it's an inefficient way to support because you end up putting, you give them 10 bucks, whatever goes to them, I assume it all goes. And then you have this thing, but you never use it. And I'd rather just give it straight to them and support it. So I'm going to talk to Pam and Councilmember Cavallari about what we're doing, and maybe there's a more efficient way. I'm sure we could find a way to address that. I think your thought was spot on.
That's
okay. So we're going to recess to executive session. That means he's got to go. And we're
going to make a
statement. Yeah, I'm talking to you.